If you've been sold by all your sisters into slavery, you would have never probably got over that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For God. Look verse 7. And God. In verse 8. But God. In verse 9. God. That's what I want to preach on tonight. But God. Amen. But God. A lot of things would have absolutely ruined their lives tonight. But God did it. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. There is a multitude tonight, amen, that can truly say, but God, Joseph went on down to say, but you did it for evil. But God did it for good. Amen. And it is a wonderful thing, amen, to have God, amen, take those things that would have been against you, turn them right around and make them for you. Thank God. God can do it. Amen. God. Amen. God is able. Amen. There was an old boy over in our country, over in Somerville, and his name was Ralph Whitehead.
He wrote the book of Romans, first and second.
Oh, hey, look. Amen. Where's the blessing here?
I'll tell you what, Adam. Amen. If God had not a chain that belonged you to the pillar and the post in that Roman jail, he would have lived all over the world upside down. But you know what God done? God chained him up and let him write 17 books.
Amen. I said, my God, that sounds great. Amen. So we sent the $45 off in the mail, and the book came back. Now I'm going to stop right there and tell you another story. I found this book down here in Salem, Virginia, by Hollis Reed, called God in History. All right. So I got to reading that book, and all the Roberts people come from Ireland. We're Irish. Irish and devil. That's a pretty bad connection. Amen. You got to get rid of the devil, amen, in the second birth, amen. But all the way through, you're still Irish. So I got to reading, and the Irish people, they were entirely Catholic in 1848. They were entirely Catholic. The whole nation of Ireland was in the priesthood. So God sent a potato rot, the Irish potato rot. How many of y'all read about that in history? Yeah. Well, if you ain't, you've heard about it tonight. Praise God. So God sent a potato rot. Well, those my ancestors were starving to death. There was about 6 million people in Northern Ireland in 1848 when God sent that potato rot and that famine. And the Catholic priest went out there, and they went out to the fields where... How long a chain I got here, Brother Paul? They sent those Catholic priests out in those potato hills, and they sprinkled holy water on top of them. Well, they was just as rotten when they got through as they was before they got there. The Protestant church... Now, won't you listen to this? The Protestant churches in America, they sent them $11 million to buy food with. And all of a sudden, those Catholics over there said, the priest has given us holy water, and they're giving us food. These Protestants are giving us food. Sound a little funny, you know. Something going on here now. I thought these Protestants was a bunch of devils, and now they're feeding us, amen. And these Protestant preachers are feeding us. So they go on, and by 1850, over 2 million of them had left Ireland and come to the United States. So I got my book back in the mail. I just have got through reading a history book, and I opened it up, and I wanted to see when the first Roberts people got here in the United States. And I turned over there, and it said how it all started. What could it be? They wouldn't end up got here till 1850. Everything's already, war's already fought, and everything before we even got over here. How can we do anything to this great nation? And all of a sudden it hit me. My God, if it hadn't been for that famine, and if it hadn't been for people starving to death, Brother Paul, I could have been over here wearing Catholic priests turned around backwards collars. Amen. My God, amen. Do you know what God done? God sent a
I'm in it for good. Amen. Hey, Lord of God. Hey, let me tell you something. The most dire thing that can come in your life, God can turn it right around and make good come out of it. In 1917, they had a ship over in England that they said, and nothing could sink it. Hallelujah. Impossible to sink it. Amen. Amen. Called the Titanic. Amen. Oh, Lord God, have mercy. They said, well, there was an old Catholic preacher over there, homeless preacher over there by the name of J. Stuart Holden. And if you've got his book, In Remembrance, he has got the ticket that he bought on the Titanic, in a copy of that ticket inside that book. And they had a scripture verse printed on every ticket that they sold on the Titanic. And it was Psalms 104. It said, "He delivereth thy life from destruction." Well, Holden was, they wanted him to take a vacation. His church didn't send him on vacation. So they bought him a ticket on the Titanic, amen, to take a vacation. He got up, Brother Paul, leaving out on a Sunday morning. Stuart Holden got up on a Saturday morning, and he had the flu. Can you hear him? Oh, it's the attack of the devil. Oh, God, you know, Lord, I need this rest so bad. He said, "Oh, God, I'm sick. I've got the flu, Lord, and I need this vacation so bad." Can't you see him saying, "Oh, would you run and get Johnny Gabbard to pray for me, amen, and get some oil and anoint me, amen, and pray for me in the name of the Lord, and God come down in the valley, heal me." So, you see that old preacher, man of God, he been just as sick as he could be. He been wanting to go on that vacation ride on that brand new ship in Faith Voyage. He calls everybody. He says, "Pray for me. I've got the flu. I'm sick enough to die." Sunday morning comes. He wakes up. He's still so sick. He couldn't live. Amen. And he decides, "Well, this is my dream voyage. Amen. But I'll just stay here sick." The company that sold them tickets was called White Star. And our ace ticket is J. Stuart Holden. White Star ticket number 1723. "He redeemeth thy life from destruction." About the time the Titanic sunk and went down, he was healed and ready to go back and preach in his home church. But oh my God, don't you think that turned his entire life when he seen God turn it around? Oh, church! God, I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. That God is a bad God. Amen. I said bad God. Amen. Woo!
I've got some work here in my Bible, Brother Paul. If I can turn over here and find it. Amen. Right quick. I want to read this to you all. I hope that's it right there. If it ain't, God have mercy. Where's it at? Amen. I was looking at it just a minute ago in my Bible. There it is. Amen. Do you know that it took nearly 200 years for the church to finally understand that God is not for slavery? Did you know that? Amen. Amen. It took them nearly 200 years, amen, for the church to figure out that God was not for slavery. They went over there and they bought those colored people out of Africa. Amen. Those slaves, and God help us. Amen. Brother, I want to tell you something. The coloreds were treated, amen, worse than any people that's ever been treated. A lot of them were. Amen. Oh, God. They was hot and tots. Amen. Do you know how long it took those savages, those cannibals, from putting whatever, that's the level of putting bones in her ears and bones in her nose. Do you know how long it took for to civilize them? Amen. History says it takes about 120 years for them to live and die, and the offspring live and die, and offspring live and die and live before they can come out of complete savagery like they were in. But somehow they come over here by the millions. And I want to read you this. All the evangelical missionary societies united cannot this day present so many converts from paganism as has been gained to Christianity from among the enslaved in this country. By 1856, the Baptists had gained on their books just in the South 130,000 members, and the Methodists 170,000, while all the missions in the world from the start to the present had only gained 200,000 people. They gained in the American church from slavery 300,000 converts. And you know what? They meant it for bad. But God brought those converts from Africa to America to save them. Woo! Amen. He done it through slavery. Amen. My God, that's the way. Church, let me tell you something tonight. That's the way God, but God brought a blessing out of it. A year ago, a year and 8 months ago, we went down to Richlands in the Raven section. Actually, in 1997, we went there and bought land to build a new church on. And we was from 97 to 2003, to the winter of 2004. Amen, before we started on it. We went down there and dug the footer on it. And we was all winter long, amen, laying the block, getting the floor ready, putting everything in the concrete. And by April of a year ago, not this past April, but the April before, amen, we went up there and started framing. And I started framing on that new church after my homecoming. Amen. We had almost got it under roof, framed the walls up and set in the trusses, when the greatest storm hit our country that had ever hit it. I've been at my church 33 years. I've got people coming to it. It's been there for over 60-some years. The greatest storm that ever hit our country, amen, blowed through and flooded my church. We had over 30-some inches of mud and water and silt on the inside of that church. I went and looked at it. I come up to the altar, and I sit down in front of the altar and just bowed my head and cried looking at the mess I had. I actually didn't know which direction to take. All the FEMA and all the agencies come and said, if it had been a whorehouse, we could have helped you. But it's a church, and you can't get a dime out of it. Say, man, we won't give you a dime. So I had this church started up on the hill, 12,000 square feet. And here I am with no place to go to church. And mud and... everybody else went on vacation Memorial Day weekend. Everybody was going on vacation. So me and Deb and two or three women out of the church went down there. We started shoveling that mud out of that church. I'm telling you, amen, we had to carry everything out. I took my Kawasaki inside of it, cut some of the carpet up, put a rope on it, and pulled it outside. We had to move all the pews in there with just a handful of women. And I took them all outside. We shoveled mud. We shoveled mud and carpet and sheetrock. We had to tear all the walls out in the church. Tore them completely out. Amen. Tore everything out. All the carpet, all the Sundays, everything. Tore it all out and took it all outside. And so help me God, we started pulling that outside. An old charismatic boy come down there and brought his wife. The thousands of people drove up in that holler just to see the flood, you know. Amen. So we had about 50 feet of our parking lot washed out, about 14 feet deep. Amen. No parking lot, no nothing but mud and disease. They're trying to give me tetanus shots and junk. Like I said, get out of my way, let me get to work. Amen. By God, I got work to do. Woo! So We went inside that church, took power washers and wheel bars and shoveled mud and everything else that was slinging out of them septic systems coming out of that holler. One old guy, one reason it flooded so bad was had one old boy with an antique stove on his porch, and the stove come down the holler and got trapped in my drain pipe and nowhere for the water to go. They come up right now. Here's what the state did. They come up right now and said, you get that water from flowing out in the highway. And they had a extend a hole right up at the end of my parking lot and wouldn't use it to move nothing. They said, oh, we're going to fine you $2,000 a day for causing that water to run out in this highway. I worked. My poor little old wife worked in that mud and what else was in them septic systems. I got so tired pulling that carpet out of there that I literally just lay down in that filth and slop and try to rest between trips pulling that mud out of that. So I couldn't take my motorcycle all the way. Had to stop and pull it about 30 feet to get it outside. I worked and I pulled and I worked on that. I'm telling you, they brought the television cameras in there. We were on television for the first time in my life. And everybody got to see the inside of my church, what it looked like with 30-some inches of mud in it. We went outside. We carried those pews out there. We got them all out there and took a power washer to them. Put everything back. Amen. God, I don't know how we done it, but we remodeled that entire church. Amen. We put that parking lot back at the cost of thousands and thousands of dollars. Amen. And went right back up on the hill and went right back to work. Amen. Got up there. The following spring, the social worker told a lie on my daughter-in-law. And they come about 10 o'clock in the night, and the police went right in their bedroom and jerked my daughter-in-law out of her bedroom. Amen. And took her to jail and put her in jail and charged her with phony charges. Amen. I'm telling you something, church. Amen. She had been her little old baby was having spells. She got that baby off of what's his name? Yeah. And her and Ben can't have children, so they was just helping the Lord out, you know, praise God. Amen. So they come up here and got little old baby off of Brother and Sister Von Trigger. And little old baby started just passing out. They took her home, give her five inoculation shots at one time, and that night she started passing out like she's dead. She just stopped breathing, so they rushed her to the hospital, and it went from bad to worse, and they took it went from September till the next spring, and the next spring they took her down to Johnson City. She stayed there, I don't know, 21 days or something like that, 2 weeks or something like that, and at night, one night when the baby was in there, they come in and took the baby away from her, and a detective down there at the hospital lied on her, and we've got proof of all I'm telling you tonight. Amen. And they took the baby away from her, and she come back to Virginia, and they sent a warrant after. So, to make a long story short, we started fighting them in the courts in Tazewell County, and started fighting them in the courts in Tennessee, and so far it has cost us over $108,000 to keep her out of jail. Amen. And then my sister came down with brain cancer. She first had cancer in her lungs, and then the cancer went to her brain, and they burned her up with chemo, and they burned her up with radiation therapy, burned her brain out where she couldn't hardly know anything. And then a few months after that, my brother came down with lung cancer, Sharon's husband. They didn't come down with lung cancer. Carol died April the 5th, or was it May the 5th? Dan died the 25th or 28th, 26th, somewhere in there like that. He died 25 days later after my sister died. My brother died. We were sitting there. I didn't get to be with Carol. We had just circumstances surrounding my sister. We wasn't allowed to go see her. And when that jerk she married called me, he said, listen, he said, it's Carol's request that she be cremated. We didn't even get to go to her funeral. They cremated her. I said, have you got that in writing? I know that's as heathen as you can get to be cremated, church. Amen. I said, he said, no. He said, I don't think I do. But we drove down there to see her one time and got there one evening and plenty of time to see her. And he made us wait in a motel room till the next day at 9 o'clock to get an appointment to see your sister die of cancer. That's what we was dealing with. When he called me and told me Carol was dead, it just hurt me so bad. But I was right there beside Dan's bed when Dan passed away. My God, I'm telling you what, church, we was fighting for our life. And you're a good pastor. And Brother Scotty and Brother Brent come down. They boosted us and they helped us. They encouraged our hearts in the Lord. Hey, man, we went through it all. We had these mighty men of God to come. Hey, man, I tell you something, the devil from the...